Hello, Baby Nation. It's Jack here with a little bit of housekeeping before we get to Jane Eyre. This month, merch is 25% off across our entire merch store. So if you've been waiting for a sweet, sweet deal to head to the merch store and get a B-Theory t-shirt or a Wine Crimes t-shirt or a cool pin or a Goliath Industries tote or whatever else we have, now is the time to head over to bit.ly/BSCCmerch. In other news, I this week appeared on FluxPod to go on an absurdly deep dive into the entire back catalog of the band REM. So if you have any interest in a long conversation between me and music writer and friend of the show, Matthew Perpetua, on his excellent podcast, FluxPod, go check that out wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, we are still on a release schedule of one episode every other week. But we will very soon be moving back to our regular schedule. And now, Jane Eyre.
In 86, Anne M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time, the Babysitter's Club.
Woo!
Woo!
What a fucking ride!
Can I ask a question real quick before we get into it?
Sure.
Sorry to
no, that's fine, man. I'm so enthusiastic.
You're bringing a lot of energy.
We can do whatever, man. Let's take some twists, some turns. Let's take our time with this one.
I kind of lost track.
Yeah.
Is this the last episode of the Babysitter's Club Club?
we're doing the board game.
Oh, yeah. We'll do the board game, and we'll do some other sort of like Babysitter's Club Club adjacent stuff.
But yeah, but we're getting there, and then we're going to do some more shit, a new thing.
Should we announce it?
Yeah.
Should we blow our wad here?
Yeah, sure. Let's tell them.
All right, we're doing a new show.
Yeah, it's same feed.
It's not about babysitting at all, and it'll be on the same feed.
I mean, there might be babysitting.
There's probably going to be babysitting.
But we're not going to like laser in on it.
It's probably going to be governesses.
Yeah, there will be governesses.
Lots of governesses.
Yeah, Tanner and I have got a hankering for governesses lately.
We're probably going to do a new show called Strange Bedfellows, and we're going to read a romance book each week and talk about it.
And it's going to be the same, but with
romance
books.
It's going to be the same. Poured over many of the same segments.
Yeah.
We'll have to reintroduce them for like all these like romance fanatics who come on board.
But hopefully. Yeah. Please stick around. It's going to be the
same.
That'll
be fun. And it'll be a lot more focused than whatever we've been doing for the
last. We'll be focused. We'll have direction.
Yeah. So please do enjoy that.
Please don't leave us. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, we are really excited about it. We've been
spending a lot of time working on it. Yeah,
we've been working on merch. We've been
more than usual
segments.
More than usual. It's not like when we did like the portrait collection and like the day before you were like, "What if it's adult babies?"
An idea you hated
that
I stuck
thing.
With the entire time. You're like, oh, yeah, or anything else. Please do enjoy that show. We're going to do a few fun interstitials that we've been itching to do.
And you don't have to do anything. You just, like, passively continue to subscribe and listen to our podcast.
Although we are also leaving HeadGum, which is weirdly ended up being our choice, and we do need to switch podcast providers.
Yeah, but they don't need to know about that. But that's something to look forward to, hopefully, for everybody. And change is scary, but fuck. You know
what? It's better than us stopping entirely, which is the other fucking option.
Here's what Spencer Johnson says. You know what Spencer Johnson says?
Is that
Whom
from Spidey?
My cheese?
Spencer and Heidi? OC?
No, it's Living that's not Beach. The OC. That's The Hills. And it's Spencer Johnson, MD.
Who he's wrote, a doctor now?
He always was.
His whole thing was that he's like kind of dumb.
No, it's not.
Him and Heidi.
They're smarter than they pretend to be.
Okay.
Even I know that. But he wrote Who Moved My Cheese? And I've
never heard of someone kind of playing up a persona
where
they act like dumb and aloof.
No, me neither. Listen, let me say this. So I listened to a podcast recently where they talked
about
it.
Spencer and Heidi have a podcast?
No! Listen to me.
Spidey.
It's Spencer Johnson from Who Moved My Cheese, but he's the book. We've never read it. We talk about it a lot.
We should read that.
No.
That should be an interesting.
Can I just say, I forget it. The book, I learned what the book is about. Do you want to know what it's about?
Yes.
It's about change.
Okay.
And it's about how change is good, but different mice like handle it differently. But the mice who thrive are the mice who like end up embracing it.
Oh, I'm not a mouse who thrives.
But you have to change. Anyway. There's that your kind of mouse is in the book, and that kind of mouse ends up going to the new cheese anyway, and listening to the
new
podcast.
But a little bit later than everyone.
A little
else.
Bit later, and it's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, what a ride. Let's say who we are.
I'm Tanner.
It's a Babysitter's Club.
Yeah.
I'm Jack.
Tanner.
We talk about babysitting and governance.
We talk about babysitting media, and we're on season, I think, 15 or 16.
15-ish,
track. Spent a long time on the Babysitter's Club because there's a lot of novels, and now we've kind of been bebopping, scotting all around the world of modern media.
Mm-hmm.
We've watched TV shows. We've watched movies.
Yeah.
We've read books.
Yeah.
We haven't listened to any albums.
No.
I don't know if there's many albums about babysitting. They're probably out there, right?
Yeah, they're probably out there, but I don't want to think about it. But this time we read a babysitting book. It's not normally categorized that way.
No, I would in fact say it's not a babysitting. Now that I've read it, I would say it's not. It does not qualify.
Let me say
in
this.
Any way.
Let me say this about the book.
So what a way to go out.
The babysitting in this book, such as
brief.
It is impeccable.
Sure, but like it doesn't. It's not in any way the focus of the book. In fact, I would say that there are precisely zero scenes of actual babysitting.
Yeah, but
there's sort of like they talk about babysitting.
Broaden your mind.
And the lead character is a babysitter. I don't need to be cagey. You all saw the fucking title of the episode.
Yeah, it's Jane Eyre.
Jane Eyre is a babysitter.
Yeah.
She's a governess.
They used to call it governesses in the old days.
But it's not a babysitting book in any way. And but that's why we're quitting. And that's why we're stopping the show. We scraped the bottom of the barrel. We're like, I guess we can do Jane Eyre. And then we realized like, oh shit. Like,
yeah.
This isn't even about babysitting. We have to call it off.
When Anne does these books, she does it in a quarter the time.
Anne wrote this one?
No.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
When she does a babysitting book, she packs 20 times more babysitting into 1/20th the amount of pages.
Yeah.
As what Charlotte Bronte did.
She's got her eye on the fucking prize.
Yeah.
You know? My wife, Jamie, has never read Jane Eyre, nor had I.
I'm a fucking lit major.
I thought I had.
Yeah.
I was certain I had, but now I realize I had not. And Jamie realized that she had not, and she asked what it was like. I was like, oh, it's just a romance novel.
No.
And she was like, is it really? I was like, it's like a big epic romance novel.
No.
And she was like, what's it like? And I was like, it's like Victor Hugo's Les Miserables meets a romance novel. It's like this epic that follows one person through all their ups and downs through their entire life, and also it's about this woman who's horny for all these dudes.
We're gonna spoil the shit out of Jane Eyre,
but it was published in like 1812.
It's been 1846.
So you had plenty of time to catch
up. You really have had plenty of time, but this is your warning. I'm gonna spoil the shit out of this novel, and it's
let me tell you.
Full of twists and turns.
Oh, yeah. It's a life. It's the life of a young woman. And not even the life. It's like, it's the first 19 years of a woman's life.
Oh, my God. And the themes. This is a thing. As a lit major, you can take the boy out of the fucking lit crit class, but you can't take the lit crit class out of the boy. And the themes in this fucking book, man. It's just got so many themes.
Charlotte.
And I'm done. He's done, I guess.
Bronte.
He's done.
Bath?
Just Googling some shit. What are you looking up? Why don't you ask
Jane
me?
Jane Austen.
Oh, I hate the conversation we're having. It's so unpleasant.
It wasn't even a conversation.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Jamie, once upon a time when you and I were working for a major media company, you and I traveled to merry old London town.
Yes.
And stayed at a haunted stable house that they turned into like a trendy apartment.
Okay.
And we were there with our friends, Matt and Scott. And my wife flew out to merry old London.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
To hang out with us. And it was the biggest fight my wife and ever.
Oh, really?
My wife and I ever got in. We got a bus tour to the English countryside where we saw Stonehenge and some big chapel that was built in like 1 AD and Salisbury
Cathedral.
Cathedral. And we went to Bath to look at the Roman baths. And the guy there was talking at length about what I assumed was Jane Eyre, but it was not. It was Jane Austen. And we almost missed the bus. And we were very short with one another.
Why? Because of the Jane Eyre thing?
No, but we eventually found the bus, and as we were getting on, we were both very frustrated with one another, and then frustrated with the tour guide as well, and Jamie turned and bumped him, and he spilled his coffee on his coat, and he was very, like, put off in a British way. He was like, "Madam," but he came around.
Wow.
And it wasn't even about Charlotte Bronte or Jane Eyre. It was about Jane Austen, which apparently takes place in Bath.
I don't, frankly, know where to start.
England. It's a town in England.
No, I know where Bath is.
It's named after the Roman baths.
There's just like so many things. Shall I try to do them all? Because what you've said is, we're talking about Jane Eyre, and what you've said is that Jane Austen, completely unrelated,
and you takes live in place Austin.
In Bath. That's what you've said, and because of the like rules of how conversations are,
yeah.
It kind of feels like I have to like interact with that, but it's like, it's just such a difficult, like,
which part do you want to interact with? Like, Jamie and I being in our biggest fight of all time.
I recoil from all of it. I'm interested in the fight.
Yeah.
We were running around the
London bus station.
And you were mad
trying
because...
to find this fucking tour bus. And I went one way and she went another way. And we were just like scrambling trying to find this tour bus and like being very short with one another.
Who was in the wrong?
We were both in the wrong.
Okay.
We kind of, it was like, we were at point A,
yeah.
And the bus was at point D.
Yeah.
And we went to like point C and B.
Okay.
And then eventually found our way to point D.
Okay.
With seconds to spare.
Wow.
Or else this prim British gentleman would have left us
and
behind.
Then he spilled his coffee on him.
On him.
Yeah. Okay.
It was bad.
Yeah, that sounds pretty bad.
It was a hell of a day, though. We saw the... Stonehenge, we saw Bath, we saw the Salisbury Cathedral.
One of the things that has happened over the past few days is you have spent 19 hours listening to the audio novel of this book, and I have spent an equivalent amount of time reading with my eyes the book.
You're a faster reader than I am.
I really powered through it.
Yeah. You want to know some interesting things about the audio novel of this book?
Sure. And then I think we should describe it. It's a ride. Guys, this book fucking kicks ass.
It was narrated by Thandui Newton.
Okay.
OBE.
Mm-hmm.
Dame Thandui Newton, aka Thandi Newton, but she recently came out and said her name is actually Thandui.
Okay.
As you're listening, she'll pronounce British names in a way that when you see it written out, you're like, I don't know who that character is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I got a weird edition of the book. There wasn't a character in the book, according to Thandui Newton's pronunciations, named St. John.
St. John.
But there was a character in the book called St. John.
Yeah, St. John. That's how I would pronounce it, just having read it. It's St.
John. And here's the thing. Is that a British... It's like British people... My wife is like, British people won't pronounce marquee correctly. They say Marquess.
No, it's not that. It's just that.
Is it a French name, Saint-Jean? And you all Brits, all you just say like, oh, you mean St. John?
No, that's just like how the name St. John gets shortened in colloquial British of the 19th century.
I think it's because you guys hate the French.
St. John.
Yeah.
Yeah, so your audio novel reader was just reading it correctly.
Okay. That's good to know.
Dame.
She's a dame.
Okay. We should describe the book, I think.
Okay. It's a dance book.
Let me say that. Can I say this? I'll say this. I want to tell you a brief story.
Okay.
About Tom York's brother, Andy.
Perfect. Perfect. I love this. Yeah.
Okay. You know who Tom York is, right?
Yeah.
He's the lead singer of Radiohead.
He's the name of my Charmander in season...
uninteresting to me.
2B of Experience Share Pokemon podcast.
Tom York's lead singer of Radiohead. A thing that people don't know, but I know, is that Tom York has a younger brother called Andy. Yeah, Andy York. And Andy York has, had a short-lived band called The Unbelievable Truth.
Okay.
I quite like them.
Yeah. You would.
Yeah, I would. But they didn't, they never really like rose to prominence. Okay. They did their first album.
What, Tom couldn't put his fucking weight behind it?
He guest vocals on their first album, like a bunch of songs. So that's pretty good. I will forever remember the Pitchfork review of the Unbelievable Truth album.
They only did one.
They did two, I think, but they only did one that really like had any modicum of success.
Enough to
get
a Pitchfork.
Get Pitchfork review.
Yeah.
But the writer of the review said the following thing. It was like a fairly middling review. It was not particularly laudatory, but the writer of the review had to admit that Andy York has a fucking set of pipes. Like, the dude can sing.
Better than Tom?
Just as good. He sings. He's a very good singer.
Differing opinions on Tom York's.
Okay, I don't have any interest in engaging with you on this particular topic of the quality of Tom York's vocals.
You brought it up.
Okay, but that aspect of it is uninteresting to me because your opinion is irrelevant. The thing that the writer of this review said, the question that he asked that lingers in my mind is, what the hell was Mrs. York putting in her son's ready breck? They both learned to sing so damn good.
God, and remind me again, what's ready breck?
Ready breck is something that as a young British boy, I used to have. It's like a dry cereal that you like, that like you can't eat without putting milk on it and then like microwaving it, and then it kind of turns into like a gruel adjacent thing. And it was like, but that's kind of why it stuck in my head, is I really like the pull of ready breck. It's like the perfect, like, that's what Tom and Andy were definitely eating. And the
that
reason
took, that took that Pitchfork writer like 8 hours of research.
It's a fucking perfect. It's a perfect. It's worthy of Charlotte Bronte in terms of like just like the absolute perfection of the metaphor.
Oh, this is absolutely malto meal.
Yeah,
or like hot grape nuts.
I used to eat it as a kid a lot. But listen, I don't, again, I know that I've introduced all these things, but I don't particularly want to go down a ready breck tangent. I want to land the plane here.
One of the biggest contributions Australia has given to the world is calling breakfast brekkie.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And I wish that
or
would
breckers a, would be good
to
too.
Find its foothold. Yeah, yeah, breckie. Kind of cool. Yeah.
So the question I want to ask you, Tanner, is what the fuck was Mama Bronte putting in the Brontes? Ready breck.
Yes.
Because they were all doing it, weren't they?
The Bronte sisters is how they're sort of...
Fucking Charlotte.
Referred to as...
Fucking Elizabeth.
The other ones.
Anne. Delilah.
Delilah. Maria. Elizabeth.
A little bit of Margot on my mind.
That's good.
That's what that song's about. There's so many of these fuckers.
Which one wrote Wuthering Heights?
Emily.
Jesus, what a prolific family.
But they're like all these dudes, and there's a dude too who's just like a good poet. But like they're all like sitting in a deserted house on the moors and just like churning out the gold. It's this book rocked.
What did Anne Bronte publish? Tenant of Wildfell Hall, and Maria's notable work is nothing.
Okay, well, 3 for 4.
So there's Maria, Elizabeth, Charlotte, Branwell, Emily, and Anne.
Yeah,
Patrick Branwell Bronte is the poet.
Anyway, they're all doing a good job, and so you know what? Let's hear it for the Brontes. I feel like...
Let's hear it for the Brontes.
Yeah.
That's good.
I just feel like people don't take time in their day to appreciate how good a job they all did.
These siblings?
Some of them.
You ever heard of the Bronte siblings?
Hey, have you guys heard of the Brontes? They're fucking kicking ass out there.
I read one of these books, Jane Eyre. It's good.
It's good. We should talk about it.
It's like a romance novel, except... Yeah. It was written in 18.
It's a lot like The Governor's Games.
It's almost exactly like it.
Except less sexy, less funny.
Oh, very sexy.
Less fun.
Very, very sexy.
It's very sexy, but not in a like penetration kind of way. In a like,
oh, I disagree. Okay. 100%. And we'll get into it. I'll introduce. Okay. Well, let's describe the book.
Okay,
and
let's then describe
the book. We will do two.
All right, and now this is the part where we spoil this book, because I'm going to spoil the shit out of it. I think it's my turn.
Is it your
right?
turn?
I think so.
God, I would love for it to be your turn, because this is a dense novel.
Yeah. I think the novel was published in 1847. So I think by the bylaws of the podcast,
that's
we get 18. I get 18 seconds, and then
47.
Then we like sit back in the cut and kind of analyze how things went. Take a breath, and then I get a big 47 second.
That adds up to
chunk.
Just about a. Just a little bit over a minute, so that's kind of ideal.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to put an 18-second timer on the clock. I am certain it's my turn, but I'm...
Oh, really? Okay, well, you do it then.
I'm going to let you have it. 18-second timer in 5, 4, 3, 1.
Okay, Jane Eyre is lives with her mean guardian, whose husband liked her, and she was his... niece, but the husband died. The guardian is very cruel, and eventually, cruelly, after cruel mistreatment, sends her away to a boarding school, never to be heard from again.
Zero, you're out of time. Okay. That was 18 seconds, and
that's,
got through that's the first chapter.
Jane Eyre's youth.
That you got through the first chapter, and I think there's 38 chapters in this book. So
okay, but that shit is important.
Slightly
for setting the
quicker
scene.
Clip.
Yeah. But did you like you're what on. I said? It felt right.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
47-second timer.
Okay.
Starting in 5, 4, 3, 2.
First things go really badly in the boarding school. She's cruelly mistreated, and a bunch of the girls die from typhus. Then nicer people take over the boarding school, and she does well, and she has a fairly happy time, and eventually becomes a teacher there. But she feels like she wants to see the world more and doesn't like being confined, so she applies to be a governess. She gets taken up as being a governess in this fucking, like, old...
Thornfield Manor.
And, who's the mysterious person who took her up? It's this guy called Rochester. He's like really fucking weird and super weird, and he's a weirdo and he's
and
a
ugly.
Weird dude and ugly. They talk about it a lot. He shows up and he's like falls in love with her, but is weird about it, and then pretends to marry somebody else. And what? There's someone in the fucking attic, and who is it? And it turns out that it was his deranged wife.
You missed so much.
That's not my fault.
You missed so much.
That's not my fault.
You missed so much of the book.
This book gets crazy, man.
We have so much to speak to.
He's keeping... this is the big spoiler. That's the thing. He's like... He's pretty weird to her.
Yeah.
But it's like... So the segment for me that I want to bring up here that's kind of relevant to the question is...
Yeah.
Hashtag swoon?
You want to do hashtag swoon.
Swoon?
Okay.
Because there's
one.
A question mark on it.
Okay. Oh, because Rochester's ugly?
So the a thing that... Okay.
Okay. I want to give you the space to do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay. I will do that. A thing that I will say about this novel that is kind of interesting is that Charlotte Bronte is not pulling any punches. She... Yeah. Will not she like anytime you forget about it, because you're just doing your imagining while you're reading the book.
Yeah,
you're imagining the people.
You're imagining.
You know, maybe you're imagining yourself as Jane Eyre. You know,
or you imagine actors.
Yeah, exactly.
Actresses.
Yeah, maybe it's fucking Colin Firth. You know.
Yeah.
But no, she like keeps bringing you back to reality, and she's like, I cannot emphasize this enough. Dude is ugly, and so's Jane Eyre. She's fucking
so
plain
Eyre.
As hell.
She is not nice to look at.
She is not good looking. And it's like, she brings it up all the time. Jane Eyre brings it up all the time. Like, I looked in the mirror and, yep, there's my dumbass fucking not good face again. Have been born plain. And then you're like, well, don't be so hard on yourself, Jane Eyre. And then like some random dude will walk past and be like, woo, man, you are plain as hell. So
what's the guy's name?
Rochester.
Rochester.
So I'll describe him, and this is my hashtag swoon, because this is the thing, and I guess this
Wait,
is the
before
point.
You get into that, I want you to Google something.
Okay.
I want everyone to Google something.
Okay, everybody Google something.
Google Jane Eyre
okay.
2016 movie.
They better not have, because Charlotte was explicit about this. The
Rochester.
The, explicit. Or sorry,
2011 movie, Rochester.
Jane Eyre, 2011 Rochester. This dude better be ugly.
It's fucking Michael Fassbender, one of the most handsome men in the world.
He's got bad hair. Oh my God.
They didn't even try to make him ugly.
He's so smoldering.
They picked one of the most handsome men in the world.
Yeah.
To play Rochester, who's described as like heinously ugly and like 40 plus so many times in the book. And they got that woman who played Alice in Wonderland in the live action movies to be Jane Eyre, who's also very beautiful.
Yeah, they got this
completely
wrong. They didn't even try.
Who's the fucking, you know what I'm going to look up? Jane Eyre, 2011 casting director.
Yeah, let's write him a note.
Let's fucking roast this.
Did you read this book? It's like one of the most salient features of the book that they're not good looking. Michael Fassbender.
So handsome.
Maybe the casting director is blind. And they're like,
oh, like Rochester.
Like Rochester. That's a big spoiler.
Yeah, that is a big spoiler. Well, he becomes unblind.
Kind of. I think
starting to become. Nina Gold.
Okay, Nina Gold.
Nina Gold, you're on our fucking shit list.
Yeah. You are on our shit list.
Because of what you've done.
Yeah, what have you done? I mean, either you got this wrong, you didn't read the book, or you have a weird idea of what constitutes as a not good looking.
Let's look at some of the other disastrous pieces of media that Nina Gold has been the casting director.
Perfect.
On.
Yeah.
The Crown.
The Crown classic.
Chernobyl.
Okay. That was a disaster.
Game of Thrones.
Okay.
You never fucking heard of that. Solo, a Star Wars story.
Okay.
In fact, all of the new Star Wars movies. It seems like she's maybe a very well respected casting director in England.
Okay, Nina Gold, listen to this. But it's sexy. That she's right that it's sexy. Ready?
Yeah.
Something of daylight still lingered and the moon was waxing bright. I could see him plainly. His figure was enveloped in a riding cloak, fur collared and steel clasped. Its details were not apparent, but I traced the general points of middle height and considerable breadth of chest. He had a dark face with stern features and a heavy brow. His eyes and gathered eyebrows looked ireful and thwarted just now. He was past youth, but had not reached middle age. Perhaps he might be 35. I knew my traveler with his broad and jetty eyebrows, his square forehead, made squarer by the horizontal sweep of his black hair. I recognized his decisive nose, more remarkable for character than beauty, his full nostrils, denoting, I thought, color. His grim mouth, chin, and jaw. Yes, all three were very grim, and no mistake. His shape, now divested of a cloak, I perceived harmonized in squareness with his physiognomy. I suppose it was a good figure in the athletic sense of the term, broad-chested and thin-flanked, though neither tall nor graceful. It's like, it's sexy.
She's describing an ugly man in a very sexy way.
Yeah, it's like, something's happening in my loins.
Yeah.
But it's like, she's a pain to be like...
If that's what does it for you.
He's not conventionally good looking.
Yeah. I'm more into conventionally good looking guys.
Okay.
And that was my hashtag swoon.
Okay, let's hear it.
Had he been a statue instead of a man, he could not have been easier. He was young, perhaps from 28 to 30. Tall, slender, his face riveted the eye. It was like a Greek face, very pure in outline. Quite a straight, classic nose, quite an Athenian mouth and chin. It is seldom, indeed, an English face comes so near the antique models as his did. He might well be a little shocked at the irregularity of my lineaments, his own being so harmonious. His eyes were large and blue, his brown lashes, his high forehead, colorless as ivory, was partially streaked over by the careless locks of fair hair.
Is that St. John?
That's St. John.
St. John. Yeah. Okay, so here's what we got to do.
He's like a fucking Greek statue.
I'm going to give you 18 seconds, and then I'm going to give you 47 seconds to say the rest of the book. Because we... Oh,
that's not fair.
That's what's happening. I've got...
Where did you stop? You stopped at the Mad Woman.
She showed up at Rochester's house.
Yeah.
And he's falling in love with her, but there's a Mad Woman.
Yeah, okay. I got it.
Okay. So I'm going to give you 18 seconds. Ready?
Yeah.
Starting now.
Jane Eyre agrees to be the governess of the ward of Mr. Rochester, a kid that he potentially had out of wedlock named, I'm going to say Amelie.
Isabel.
Remember. No, it's not Isabel.
Okay, here. Don't get hung up on it.
She's a French girl. She's little, and she teaches her, and she lives in Thornbriar Manor. Okay.
Okay, now let's try to do it faster.
I'm going to try my best. It's a dense book.
47 seconds, and we got to get to St. John.
Okay.
And we have to say why he's got his wife locked in a closet. Because this is a thing. I imagine that through the ages, people who read this book have mixed feelings and some debate about whether or not they like Rochester and
sure.
what good and bad qualities he has.
Sure.
For me,
both of the men in Jane Eyre's life are kind of nasty boys.
I would say that wherever you land on the question of whether he is a good or not bad person, you have to make some account of the fact that he's got his wife locked in the closet and sure, he doesn't tell anyone. Yeah. And he won't tell anyone. And it's a secret.
Okay. So I can get to that. I can get to that.
Yeah. And also get to St. John. And I'm going to give you 47 seconds.
Will.
Ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. Janitor spends a lot of time in Mr. Rochester's house and falls in love with him, and they decide to get married because Rochester is in love with her as well. On the wedding day, a man bursts in and says, actually, this wedding can't happen because Mr. Rochester's already married, and he's married to a mad woman who lives in his attic, who Janitor had some encounters with because she tried to set Rochester's bed on fire.
She's very biting.
Heir's veil. Jane Eyre says, Rochester, I can't marry you. I'm going to leave. She leaves. She becomes homeless. She's about to die, and she finds her way to a house where she's taken in by two sisters who say, our brother is a pastor in the town. His name is St. John. And we're poor because our uncle was supposed to leave us a bunch of money when he died, and he didn't. And then Jane Eyre is like, oh, that's funny, because an uncle of mine who I didn't know just left me a bunch of money. And they're like, oh, shit, we're cousins. So now they're cousins. And then St. John's like, I'm going to India to teach them how to be good Christians. Can you learn Hindu and go with me and marry me? And she says no. And then she goes back to Rochester, and he's blind. And because the mad woman burned down the house.
Yeah, and he rescued her, but became blind and lost his hand in the process. And then she
And he did not rescue her. She jumped off the roof. And
but it's like still sexy. It's like that Charlotte's like, he's even uglier.
And Jane Eyre's like, I want to marry him even harder now. And they do get married,
and it's nice.
And his sight starts to come back.
One eye was amputated.
Yeah,
that's. I told you we were going to spoil the shit out of this book, so don't. Yeah. And you've had since 1847 to read it. It's really not. It's one like people complain about spoilers, and I'm like normally sympathetic to it, but you've literally had since 1847 to read this one.
Do you want to take a break, or do you want to dive into my segment where I defend the horniness of this book?
Let's take a break, and then let's do that.
Okay.
Okay. I'm excited about that.
Okay.
All right.
See you soon.
Bye.
Hi, all. It's Jack here, and I am super excited to tell you about a new sponsor, the incredible family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. Unfortunately, Tanner is not able to be here for this ad read because he misread the brief, and I'm glad that he's reading the briefs at least, but he thought that he was being assigned on an actual secret mission to find out who really killed June's sister, Claire. Now, I've been enjoying immersing myself in a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance, and putting my detective skills to the test as I solve hundreds of puzzles whenever I have a free moment to play June's Journey, but Tanner has actually, and... this is a quote, booked myself passage on a steamship to New York, which, not to triangulate here, but that's a uniquely bad way to get there from Connecticut. And reading between the lines of the extremely cryptic letters he's been sending me, it sounds like he's making a real nuisance of himself, asking the other passengers questions about their luggage. June's Journey is a murder mystery game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner's Journey, according to the most recent note I got from him, is currently delayed due to what he describes as a miscommunication with the Coast Guard about what exactly a steamship license is. I hate to take sides, but I really feel like I would trust the Coast Guard on this one. Right now, I'm making my way through the adventure of the Hidden Distillery. I love looking for clues and customizing my estate while I'm on hold with some very angry people at a place I've never heard of called the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority. And you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey, and you can download it for free on iOS and Android. Okay, it looks like I'm going to have to go and pick them up.
Jack, can I introduce a segment?
Please, yeah.
You insisted that this book was not as randy as the
Governess Games. Yeah.
I insist that it is.
Okay, I'm interested.
And I will regale you with all of the moments of horniness in this book
okay.
with a segment we okay. call
Two Proof Dudes.
Okay, I know this one. Yeah. It's where we say the horny parts, but kind of tone them down a little bit so that people can listen to the podcast over dinner with their families.
I think for this one, I will read all the horny parts first.
Yeah.
And then we can go back and tone them down. Is that okay?
Yeah, that seems fine.
I'll read them very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, it's classic literature. So, you know, the kids can handle it.
Chapter 5.
Okay.
Silence! Ejaculated a voice. Not that of Miss Miller, but one of my upper teachers, a little and dark personage, smartly dressed but of somewhat morose aspect, who installed herself at the top of the table while a more buxom lady presided at the other.
Okay.
Example number 2 from chapter 18.
Okay.
That's reading Roman numerals on the fly.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
That's commendable. The footman still lingered. She looked such a rough one, said he. Go! Ejaculated Miss Ingram.
Okay.
Yeah. And the man went.
Okay.
And then the third one here is, what, me? I ejaculated, beginning in his earnestness and especially in his incivility.
Okay, yeah.
And then another one here, gratitude, he ejaculated. And that's nice. If you're ejaculating, you yell like, gratitude.
Yeah.
Jane, accept me quickly.
Okay.
And that's
too late. Too late, buddy. Yeah. Yeah.
And then another one, at Thornfield Hall, ejaculated the clergyman.
Okay.
And I don't think they're allowed to do that. And then, is there another? Oh, there's two more.
Okay, let's hear
a lot of ejaculating. Yeah. Chapter 35, my prayers are heard, ejaculated St. John.
Yeah.
And then chapter 36, poor Mr. Edward, he ejaculated. I little thought ever to have seen it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pretty graphic ejaculation.
Here's the thing
in this.
About this novel, and I should say this for people who haven't read it. There's a lot of pent up, just general frustration. Sexual frustration, certainly, and just general frustration.
1847, is that Victorian or is that Edwardian? That's Victorian.
It's Victorian. Okay. That works for us.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the thing about this novel for people who haven't read it. Jane is wild.
Yeah.
She's like, she's got like, she doesn't play by your fucking rules.
No, she'll make anyone ejaculate for any reason.
That's not what I'm saying. No. So there's a lot of like, but she's like being controlled. Like everywhere she goes, someone tries to control her, tries to hold her back, tries to like repress her.
Yeah.
Like her guardian, then her school. Then Mr. Rochester himself is like tries to like put his like imprint on her and like control.
Is this all leading back to the ejaculation stuff?
Yes. And then the St. John, her cousin, who's like this like missionary like zealot, like tries to like force her to like he tries to make her marry him, but like he just like tries to like tame
also
her.
Sort of imply she was like it would be a loveless marriage. He'd be like, yeah, but we can still fuck.
Yeah, but
he
literally
says that at
literally
some point.
That yeah. But so that's like the overarching thing. It's what makes this novel so
fascinating is that, like, Jane Eyre is constantly, like, she, like, she's better than all of that shit, but she, like, that's the world that she has to navigate. So it makes sense that there's a lot of pent-up, like, wildness that's just trying to get out. And I didn't notice it when I read it, but you have found that there are a bunch of places in the book where it does right out.
Yeah.
And I didn't know.
I'm looking at these and I can make quick work of this.
And so we're going to fix it. We'll fix that so people can.
I think I've got it. I'm not even sure we need to go one by one. I think you just replace. You know what? Honestly, ejaculated doesn't even make much sense in a lot of these passages. Okay. I would say exclaimed. And I think 99.999% of the time, that's going to cover us.
You just say exclaimed.
Silence, exclaimed a voice. Right?
Yeah.
Go, exclaimed Miss Ingram, and the man went.
What about?
What, me? I exclaimed.
Emitted nocturnally.
Oh. Wait, do you only do it nocturnally?
Usually, like, you gotta put the kids to bed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, it's pretty horny. She's
making it's a horny book.
Ejaculate left, right, and center.
Well, and so is Rochester. It's not a good-looking guy. He's got a broad chest. He's, like, beefy.
God, he's got a way about him. But, you know,
there's something about him. It's a sexy book. It's so sexy. It's so sexy. Because Mr. Rochester is like, that guy's...
Buddy. Everyone's ejaculating. Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on with that guy?
Right.
What is he putting in his ready brick?
I hate to say it.
Don't answer. Yeah. But it's like, because he's pretty sexed up.
He's hot to try.
He does some crazy stuff, man. He's like, he's like, a good, like, he pretends Anglican. To be like a old, like, fortune teller.
Oh, he does. Yeah. That is one of the wildest scenes
it's wild.
In the book. So it's like when he and Jane are first starting to fall in love.
Yeah.
Jane is still like an unassuming governess, like a servant.
But she's like so, like, unassuming isn't quite right. Like, she's like, she like keeps to herself, but she's like, there's steel.
But in the
in
company of socialites.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, unassuming. She's not, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And why can I never remember the fucking guy's name? I always want to call him Hutchinson. Rutcherson is.
Rochester.
He's throwing a party and he's inviting some socialites over, including his bride to be.
Yeah.
Whose name is unimportant because it turns out she's a GD gold digger.
Yeah.
And it's the first time he's kind of introducing Jane Eyre to the world of, like, high society.
Yeah.
And she mostly sticks to herself kind of in the corner out of the way, like reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
But he insists that she kind of get involved.
In the fortune telling.
Where was I headed?
We're telling about the fortune telling.
And an old lady, a crone, shows up from the village and wants to read all the young lady's fortunes.
Yeah.
And she goes through and
reads, is like super rude, like, to all the high society ladies, including the gold digger. And it's like, oh, you're just a gold digger.
Yeah.
And then is like, says some shit to Jane Eyre that's like, it's pretty sexy.
Well, to Jane Eyre, she's like, I bet there's an ugly man in this house who you want to, like, bone down with. And Jane Eyre's like, how did you know? And then he whips off his, like, crone disguise, and he's like, Tis I,
he ejaculated.
Yeah. And then he ejaculated, and it's like, that's not love. I don't know what is, you know?
So this actually brings me to Pamela.
Mm-hmm. Harding, Gigundo Yuck.
No,
she's in this one.
No, that's from the Little Sister books. Most people who listen to this don't even know who that is.
Well, they should. Go fucking subscribe to our Patreon.
No, Pamela by Richardson. So when Jane pays the fortune teller, they have the following exchange. I gave her a shilling. She put it into an old stocking foot, which she took out of her pocket. And having tied it round and returned it, she told me to hold out my hand. I did. She approached her face to the palm and pored over it without touching it. It is too fine, said she. I can make nothing of such a hand as that, almost without lines. Besides, what is in a palm? Destiny is not written there. So that same interaction happens in Samuel Richardson's Pamela.
Okay. So a man disguises himself as a
fortune teller? A fortune teller tells Pamela that she can't read her palm because there aren't lines in it.
Oh, okay. She's too...
So I think the resonance between those two novels is interesting.
Yeah.
Because Pamela is, like, in many ways, to me, it's the opposite of Jane Eyre, but it speaks to a lot of the same themes. Where Pamela is, like, constantly being importuned mm-hmm. by her, like, rich benefactor.
Okay.
To do it without putting a ring on it, basically.
I mean, that kind of sounds like the almost the exact same thing as Jane Eyre.
Yeah, kind of.
They never do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but they do it. Like, Jane Eyre makes Richardson.
It's her name. His name is Rochester.
Rochester ejaculates like, yeah. several times. But, like, it's probably just, like, hand stuff. They don't get into, like, the detail. It's, like, 1847.
But Pamela is, for people who haven't read it, it's an odious novel. It sucks. But can I say that?
Yeah, of course. Samuel is it okay? Richardson wrote it.
Yeah.
Of course it sucks, but.
It sucks, man. Like, it's, like, so fucking pontificating and pious and, like, moralistic and, like, and like he's like a total asshole and like the and I'm going to spoil Pamela now, but like basically like after like years of trying to wear her down, like she ends up winning the day by like convincing him to marry her instead of like keeping her as a kept woman, and it's like nobody fucking wins.
Yeah.
But so there's resonance between those two novels in this interesting way. But Jane Eyre is not like Pamela. Like she's brought up as being a comparison
by you.
So the by me, but also by the book, by the obvious reference. Cuz she's like ultimately she's like buffeted about by the needs of like the institutions and the men who try to fucking pin her down.
Mm-hmm.
But she ends up like kind of making her own way and she only ends up
she becomes a millionaire.
She becomes a millionaire and she only ends up taking Mr. Rochester like when he's like pretty down and out.
Yeah, I felt a little bad for Jane Eyre because like
he was gonna be a bigamist.
Yeah. But like he almost like didn't consider his first wife. He met her in Jamaica. I think she's like a Jamaican woman.
Yeah.
But I think there's something about Victorian era novels where they kind of they say she's a Jamaican woman, but they like won't say that she's
yeah they won't say it. They do reference it obliquely at some point. They're like because she's like very rich in her country, yeah. And there's a reference in the text where they're like, her being more rich than him is made up for in terms of the match by him being of a more desirable race.
Yeah.
So there's, now we've said know, that.
As but is the tradition with a yeah. lot of these yeah. babysitting club books.
Yeah. there's some difficult stuff. A lot of
tricky race stuff.
Yeah. And further, she becomes like violently mad.
So he sort of thinks of her as less than human. Like, she's not there, you know? Like,
she's very bi-.
There's no humanity to her.
I think that the novel wants us to think that he did his best in a bad situation. Like,
but Jane Eyre knows better because she fucks off.
She doesn't even fuck off because, like, why didn't you tell me you were married? Or why are you keeping your wife in a closet?
Yeah.
She fucks off because she's like, the Bible says we can't.
The Bible won't allow. We'll go to
ejaculate
hell.
Together right. without being married.
Not again.
And we can't be married yeah. when you're currently married to a person who lives in your house.
Yeah, and tries to kill you on a regular basis because
she sets his bed on fire.
Because hashtag relatable. Her caretaker Grace Poole loves gin too much.
Yeah, that's hashtag relatable.
It gets drink. They're it
like
gets drunk.
Grace Poole. Charlotte Bronte is like. Grace Poole is this lady who's like hired from the like whatever like social services to look after this like troubled wife.
Yeah.
And Charlotte Bronte is like Grace Poole is like doesn't have many faults, but she does have one, and it's like that she keeps a bottle of gin handy and will sometimes like fuck around with it, and then like she falls asleep and like her charge will like get loose and like set beds on
psychopath
fire.
Psychopath leaves but and tries to kill everyone.
Bronte is like at pains to be like, but like frankly, she's got like a pretty difficult situation, so it's like kind of understandable.
I fucking write content for a living, and I have a little bit of a nip of gin every now and then, too. So, I get it.
Have we just been... Don't read Pamela, people. Don't read it.
Don't read it. It's bad. Can I do a segment?
Yeah.
What is your... manor called?
Okay, this is a name generator where we talk about a name generator, and everyone can play. Rochester's manor is called Thornfield.
Well, so let's do them in order.
Okay.
Jane, when she was under the care of her nasty aunt, Mrs. Reed, lived
she's
at
so
Gateshead
mean. We haven't even got into Miss Reed, but she's like...
Oh, her, she's got nasty little kids, too.
It's a good way to start the book, because it's like... Jane Eyre is really put upon. It shows the two sides of the situation. Like, the situation, the microcosm that is Jane Eyre's childhood, which I spent the first 18 seconds of my recap on, is, yeah, like, sets the scene for all the themes that pervade the rest of the book, where it's like, she has to choose between solitude or servitude.
Yes.
Like, Miss Reed is, like, super mean to her and jealous of her, and, like, the whole family is super shitty and snarky and mean to her.
Yes.
But, like, she has so much, like, fire in her fucking belly that, like, against her best interest, she won't go along to get along. And she, like, does some fucking sick-ass burns and, like, says some nasty shit to Miss Reed.
Yes. And then Miss Reed sends her to boarding school.
Yeah. And then eventually, like, calls for her on a deathbed, like, not to apologize. Just to, like, be like, I still fucking hate you.
And then dies.
Which is pretty sick. Yeah. Anyway,
but her son had died too, who was also nasty. And that's literally how the book opens, with little John Reed throwing a book at Jane Eyre, yeah, and like making her bleed.
Yeah.
So she lives at Gateshead Hall.
Gateshead Hall. Okay. That's her first
name. And then she's sent to school for a little, yeah, while. But then after leaving school, she ends up at Rochester's house, Thornfield Manor.
Mm-hmm.
And then after she leaves Thornfield Manor, she, yeah, ends up at St. John's house.
Right.
Which is called Marsh End or Moor House, which means the same thing.
Okay.
Essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just kind of add a little color to this. Without triangulating too much, I was doing my best Henry David Thoreau impression, and I was walking through the woods of New England.
Yeah.
The other day, listening to Jane Eyre.
And that rules. It was the wind, yeah, blowing, and like the, oh, you, yeah, heard like the howling of wolves in the background, and you,
and
beautiful, like a, yeah, rainstorm happened, and you caught tuberculosis and wasted away.
Not
and,
yet, but I was walking through the woods.
That's beautiful. Were tears streaming down your cheeks? Did you feel wild and free?
Somewhere near my house. I would say within an hour and a half of my house.
Yeah.
And I came across a old, gosh, there's so much context that's required for this. I live in a town that was once essentially owned by a guy called A.W. Stanley, who started a tool company called Stanley Tools, which one day merged with a company called Black & Decker. And now there's, okay, a huge international company called Stanley Black & Decker.
Okay.
And they make every tool that you've ever owned.
Uh-huh.
The entire neighborhood that I live in is all once owned by A.W. Stanley, and all the parks are named after him. And I was in the woods.
Okay, good.
And I came across some old ruins,
okay,
of a house, a big house.
Cool.
Some like stones, and there was like clearly someone had been like spray painting and like camping out. I think like teens hang out in this like abandoned stone structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so curious about it that when I got home, I was and I was listening to Jane Eyre the whole time.
Yeah.
That I was on this walk. And I was so curious about this stone structure that when I got home, I Googled it. And it turns out that it's the first home of A.W. Stanley.
Wow.
When he first settled near Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay.
And it was called Tipponiton.
Okay.
Is what he decided to call his grand structure. Eventually, he made a new home in Farmington, Connecticut, and gave this home over to the city in 1925. And then
they just let it run to shit.
It burned to the ground.
Okay. Yeah.
And then they were like, well, let's just let the woods grow around it and we'll call it.
And that's what happens to Thornfield, we should say.
And that's what happens to Thornfield.
The wife, Bertha, burns it down and jumps off the roof. And in the course of, I guess, maybe trying to rescue her or just make sure she's dead, Rochester gets pretty fucked up. He gets uglier.
Yeah.
That's
just a little background.
Okay. I loved it. I was interested.
But the real mission here is to name your house.
Yeah. What's your manor?
So we've got Thornfield Hall.
Yeah.
We've got Moor House.
Okay.
And we've got Gateshead Hall.
Okay.
So Thornfield,
mm-hmm,
is a plant,
mm-hmm,
and a place where plants live.
Mm-hmm.
Gateshead is a barrier and a body part.
Mm-hmm.
And more house is a natural swamp, feature.
A natural feature, yeah.
Structure one might live in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I no, and keep in mind, you're silent as though you're expecting me to lead. I don't have a plan here.
Okay,
you and I are on this journey together.
We're on this journey together. Okay, well let's
Gateshead.
Gates is also the name of a tech entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So let's do Gateshead. I think you've expanded the aperture a little bit too wide. We got to just pick one.
Why don't you do that one and I'll do
Thornfield. I'll do Gateshead and you do Thornfield. And the third one is St. John's stupid ass house and fuck that.
Which
guy.
Is like a fucking dump.
He sucks, man. He's like worse. He's like controlling. He's a fucking pervert. This is a thing. Like, this is all about, this novel is all about control, and it's all about like people who are trying to put their fucking grubby little hands on Jane and like mold her in their image. And he's the worst of the bunch.
Yeah.
Because his fucking thing is like, he like almost gets her because he like tries to like play on her goodness because she's good.
Yeah. Well, he tries to play on her like Christianity,
and he's like, well, if you're good, why don't you be like ultimate good, like fucking like the best kind of good there is, and like missionary up with me and come to India and learn Hindustani and
but
like fucking like
we have to get married to make that happen, but don't
and
worry,
it's like don't
we'll
worry
fuck.
We'll fuck. And she's like, I scorn your kind of love. And he's like, that really hurts me. But like, even though I now hate you, we should still get married and go be missionaries. And don't worry. Yeah. Well, fuck.
He's like, I'm going to go to London town. I'm going to prep for our journey. And when I'm back in 2 weeks, I am excited to hear about how you're willing to marry me and go on this journey.
Yeah.
And Jane Eyre's like, sure, but first I'm going to go visit my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
And also marry him.
Okay, so fuck his house, and so now we've got it. So you do Thornfield, I'll do Gateshead. Gates is a tech entrepreneur.
Okay, and Thornfield is a plant and also a place where one would play a sport.
Yeah, so
okay,
I need to find a tech entrepreneur who shares my name?
I've already got one.
So I've got one. Well, let's do one at a time, huh?
Yeah, but I called first.
Okay.
Pitcher plant. A pitcher plant is a plant that eats bugs.
Okay, pitcher.
It's kind of shaped pitcher.
Okay.
Pitcher. P-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Okay, I've never heard of it. Pitcher.
It's sort of shaped like a cup, and plants come and they get, it's slick, and they fall into it, and there's digestive liquid.
Okay, sure. It's like a Venus flytrap. Yeah.
Yes. Which is an aggressive plant, like a thorn.
Okay, great. I love it.
And then field
mm-hmm.
in England.
Mm-hmm.
Where this book takes place is called a pitch.
Okay.
So my house is called Pitcher Pitch.
Pitcher Pitch. And then you have to say manor or...
I would not call my house a manor.
What about hull?
I'm going to say three
pitch.
Manor.
What about a pitch?
Yeah.
Pitcher Pitch Pitch.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm going to list it on Zillow, that's what I'm going to do. Pitcher Pitch Pitch. Three bedrooms, two bath.
Okay. So I'm going to do Gateshead. What is it? Gateshead what?
Gateshead... Hall.
Okay. So Bill Gates is a famous tech entrepreneur. I'm going to pick a tech entrepreneur who shares my name, Jack. So Dorsey.
Okay. Yeah.
Twitter's CEO.
Dorsey's doesn't feel very, well, you know, this is your journey.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking this is my journey.
Yeah. I would maybe go Musk because it feels like a lot of.
I'll do Musk.
No, do Dorsey.
No, we'll do Musk. All right. Musk. And
it
then.
It just feels like kind of an old British word.
Yeah. Musk. And then I need a part of the body.
Penis.
I think balls.
Okay.
Musk balls.
Yeah. I got to say, Musk balls is, if I was reading Jane Eyre.
Yeah.
And I saw Musk balls manor, I would think, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Musk balls. Right. And then it's house.
Yeah. So yours is just house.
MD.
That's good.
Yeah.
And the MD stands for what?
My domain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how, and we can't help you if you want to make your own.
No, we gave you all the tools to do your own.
Yeah.
And now it's on you to build it.
Reader, I married him. That's famous from this book.
Is it?
Did you
Who's
catch
Rita?
That? No, Reader.
Oh, reader.
Have abruptly changed topics.
The way Thandui Newton was saying it the entire time, it sounded like Rita, and the whole time I was like, who the fuck is Rita? Rita? Am I supposed to know who Rita
Who's
is?
Who's Rita? Rita, I married him. It's famous. I've seen people say that, but I didn't know it was from this book.
I didn't either.
Did you notice that when she begins a chapter and she goes, reader, I married him?
Yeah.
It ruled.
It was one of the last chapters.
Yeah, it fucking ruled.
Yeah.
It was good. Let's see. Anything else?
Yeah, I only have one more segment.
I have a bunch of stuff about Fuko in here. I have some stuff about
who?
Fuko.
Wilco?
Fuko!
Who's Fuko?
He's a French philosopher.
Bleh.
Okay, we'll do your segment. It's our burn of the week. There's so many sick burns in this book.
There are a lot of sick burns. Everyone's calling everyone else ugly.
Can I do a bunch?
I only have one. You just want me to clear out?
Yeah, clear out.
Get out of your way.
Do mine. Yeah.
Okay.
And then to fucking like step back and clear out because I got some burns to say.
Mr. Rochester had sometimes read my unspoken thoughts with an acumen to me incomprehensible. In the present instance, he took no notice to my abrupt vocal response, but he smiled at me with a certain smile he had of his own, and which he used but on rare occasions. He seemed to think too good for common purposes. It was a real sunshine of feeling. He shed it over me now. "Pass, Janet," said he, making room for me to cross the stile. "Go up home and stay your weary little wandering feet at a friend's threshold." And my burn is on Jane Eyre because Rochester couldn't even fucking
can't even remember
her name.
Fucking names. He keeps calling her Janet. It's like, oh, the fucking governess is here again.
Hello,
is it Janet?
Janet?
Jeanette?
At some point, he decides to just start calling her Janet.
Yeah. And he's I think it's a weird just dude, man.
He forgot her name.
Okay, I got three burns. I'm going to run through them super fast, but the three people get burned so bad. Burn number one. Then this is something we talked about. Burn number one, numbers one and two, we have talked about in some detail, but this will add some illustration to the point. Ready?
Yeah.
"I'm afraid you are disappointed in me, Bessie," I said this laughing. I perceived that Bessie's glance, though it expressed regard, did in no shape denote admiration. "No, Miss Jane, not exactly. You are genteel enough. You look like a lady, and it is as much as I ever expected of you. You were no beauty as a child." I smiled at Bessie's frank answer. I felt that it was correct, but I confess I was not quite indifferent to its import. At 18, most people wish to please, and the conviction that they have not an exterior likely to second that desire brings anything but gratification. And, Jane, you're burnt.
Yeah, you're burnt.
Bessie, who's the only person at this stage in your life who likes you at all.
Maybe the only person in your life who's ever liked you.
It's like, is it, she? This is when she like comes to visit her after she's like escaped Miss Reed. And Bessie, like, goes to great lengths to be like, "You didn't look good as a kid, and you don't look good now."
God, that's a little too close to home.
Okay.
For old Tanner Green Ring.
Burn number two. "You must see the carriage, Jane, and tell me if you don't think it will suit Mrs. Rochester exactly." This is when he's proposed to her. "If you don't think it will suit Mrs. Rochester exactly, and whether she won't look like Queen Boadicea leaning back against
Boadicea?
Boadicea.
Boudica.
Well, I've always said Boadicea, but it's maybe one of those things that I've only ever seen written. But it's definitely not Boudica. "You must see the carriage, Jane, and tell me if you don't think it will suit Mrs. Rochester exactly, and whether she won't look like a famous medieval queen, leaning back against those purple cushions. I wish, Jane, I were a trifle better adapted to match with her externally. Tell me now, fairy as you are." They've got this weird thing where he, like, he keeps referring to her as being like an elf, like being supernatural.
Boudica. Boudica.
I don't want to talk about it.
Here,
tell
I'm
me now.
Send you the, I'm going to send you the link.
I hate that fact. Yeah. Tell me now. Fairy as you are, can you give me
a Pokemon named Boudica?
I hate that this is still happening. It sucks for me. "Tell me now, fairy as you are, can't you give me a charm or a filter or something of that sort to make me a handsome man?" It would be past the power of magic, sir. I said.
No, Nina fucking Gold figured it out.
So that's fucked. And then my final burn is
that
on...
That is fucked.
Yeah. He's like flirting with her and he's like, hey, my little elf, like, can you like do magic on me to make me handsome? And she's like, no, even magic couldn't fucking do that.
Their first encounter, he's like, do you think I'm handsome? And she's like, no.
And then she's like, but don't worry, like, I still like you. Like, the thing I like is like that you're stern.
You're so severe.
My final burn is on Charlotte Bronte herself. It is by a critic called Elizabeth Rigby, who is a contemporary of Miss Bronte's. Miss Bronte released the novel initially under the name Cullen.
Oh, did she have a male pseudonym?
She had a male pseudonym, and it was Cullen something.
Edward Cullen.
Was it?
From,
no.
No.
God, I thought you were being helpful, but you're not.
The vampire thing.
Currer Bell was the name of...
Stringer Bell from The Wire.
No, her original pseudonym was Currer Bell, so people didn't know whether it was a man or a woman. It was like a subject of great speculation in London.
Yeah, we've all fucking read Little Women.
Okay, well, and critic Elizabeth Rigby said the following of this book. Ready?
Yes.
If the novel has not been composed by a man, as seems indicated by Jane Eyre's ignorance of cookery and dress, it must be the work of a sexual delinquent.
Okay, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is
funny. Because it's so fucking sexy!
It is very sexy. Everyone's always ejaculating.
It's a horny book. You gotta read it. It's so horny. It's so hot. It's so horny. We have to go now.
Okay.
Do you want to say something?
Sure.
Say
I feel like I could talk about this book all day. It's a very good book.
Guys, we loved it.
It was written by one of the Bronte siblings.
Fucking, I'll have what they're having. And it's ready, Breck.
Right.
And it's good as hell.
And ejaculations.
And it'll do you right, because damn. It makes me want to reread Wuthering Heights, which also fucking rocks.
That's another Bronte sister. We don't talk about that one. Is there babysitting in that one?
It's Marianne's favorite book in the Babysitter's Club.
Ah, that kind of counts.
Yeah.
Is there any babysitting in it? Or you know what? Is it a romance novel? Because we could probably cover it on our new show, yeah. Strange Bedfellows. You don't need to go anywhere or do anything. It'll just show up in your feed.
Passively continue to subscribe to our show and give us a chance.
But tell your friends about it.
And tell your friends.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. It's going to be a ride.
Got a lot of segments already planned. Burn of the Week.
Burn of the Week.
Cheerful Moment. Two Prude Dudes. A lot of new fun stuff.
Yeah, that's going to be good. It's going to be fun. Yeah, read Wuthering Heights, too. Oh, no, the thing that I was going to say before we leave, like, there is babysitting in this book, and it's just good. She does a good job. There's bad babysitting of Jane Eyre. She's badly babysat.
Yes.
By her surrogate mom, and then initially by her school. They do a fucking terrible job. Half the school dies of typhus. And the guy who, like, created the problem by underfeeding them that led to half the school dying is then demoted to being treasurer of the school.
It's a lot like your friend Jack Twitter.
Dorsey.
Jack Dorsey.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you're not competent to run this place. We're going to bring in a board of directors to do it for you.
Yeah. But you still become a billionaire.
But you will still become a billionaire.
So. Yeah. What was I saying?
Don't remember. Something about ejaculating?
Babysitting. The babysitting in this book. So there's a girl that she's charge of. Possibly the illegitimate child of Mr. Rochester. Another, like, black mark in the book of Mr. Rochester.
Before he settled down. Yeah, before he settled down, he traveled the world and just, like, ejaculated everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. And he's like, I'm not even sure if I'm the dad. And he's like, he's kind of the same way that he is to his like troubled wife who needs better care than he's giving her.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I guess this is my responsibility and I'm going to do the worst job of fucking handling it. Like where it's like, I'm like, there's some good in me. So I'm like, not going to just like send her to a fucking like poorhouse.
Right, but I do hope that.
But like,
her
I hope
so
someone else solves this problem for me.
Burns the house down and jumps off of it and kills herself.
But he does the same with his charge, Isabel or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's good, but Jane Eyre does a fantastic job of babysitting her, and I just felt like we should say that because it's the babysitting podcast.
Adele.
But not for long. We're going to leave.
What did you say her name was? Amelie?
I keep saying Isabel.
It's Adele. And she only speaks French.
She only speaks French. Tanner, we're going to go. I would like to thank you very much for bearing with me. I would like to thank the Baby Nation so much.
That's
for
how we end
us.
The fucking Babysitter's Club show that we've been doing for 5 years.
Yeah, we're going to do the board game.
That's true. We'll make more hay there.
We don't have to make any fucking hay. Just stick along. Come along for the ride. It's like Jane Eyre, man. You never know what life's going to throw you, but like chances
embrace
are
it. Embrace
you're
going to
end up marrying a blind, armless Rochester, and you're going to be happy, even though that's not what you would necessarily choose for yourself in the abstract.
Right. Maybe you know? You have no interest in romance novels, but you know what you do have interest in?
Yeah.
Jack and Tanner.
Yeah. And also, like, think about it this way. And this is kind of, it's like a mix of Who Moved My Cheese and Jane Eyre. Think about it this way. If someone came to you and was like, hey, guess what?
He ejaculated.
If somebody came to you and ejaculated the following thing. When you get married, the person you're going to marry is going to be like 20 years older than you.
Hot.
And burned.
Hot.
And can't
How
see.
Burned.
And no arms. And you have to really look after them. And also, like, has had, like, a super weird, fucked up life that involves, like,
was
confining
kind of a prick even his, before he was blind and
yeah.
didn't have any arms.
Wife in a closet.
Yeah.
Would you be like, I want that?
Me?
Yeah.
Me? Would yeah. I want that?
No.
No.
Right.
I don't think you're selling the new show very well.
No, but my point is, think how happy Jane Eyre is. She loves
well,
it.
Well, it remains to be seen. The book ends right.
No, but the book ends
to...
with her being... No, the book ends with her being like...
Is there a sequel?
And it's no, there's not a sequel. The book ends with her being like, it's now been 10 years since that. And like, we have kids and we're fucking like super and, happy. And like, we're like...
Rochester's sight is coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I love... I'm the first time in my life, I'm like so into this. I'm
right.
having
and
a good time.
And she's rich as hell.
And she's rich as hell. So think
she
about
got,
that.
She got... Hey... She got 5,000 shillings.
She got 5,000 pounds. I did
pounds.
The math.
What's a
I
shilling,
tried to do
a penny?
The math. You know that when I was a boy, we still had shillings and half p and halfpennies?
When what's a p? A pfennig?
It's a penny. It's like a pence.
Okay.
But when I was okay. a boy, we still had I would get listen, this is true and this is like it's dating me like you know everyone knows how old I am, I guess. Like, I can look it up. But like saying this just makes it seem so much high. Older.
Yep.
Like, when I was a boy, sometimes my dad would give me, like, two or three halfpennies, and I would go down to the shop and buy, like, halfpenny sweets.
Is that a penny?
No, a halfpenny. A halfpenny.
Oh, a halfpenny. Jesus.
And you could get a sweet for a halfpenny.
How the UK's economy is crumbling.
We don't have time to get into it. We have to go, and we've run so late that I'm not going to importune you about all our other stuff. Just go to our Patreon and fucking subscribe, please. It helps yes. us, and it's also good, and you can listen to our little sister fucking episodes. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. That's all
and
I'm going to say.
Stick around on the feed for Strange yeah. Bedfellows. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have so much fun with it. We're going to get so horny together. And
it's going to be so horny.
Jack had a call just today with our merch providers at DFTBA.
Yeah.
Where they yelled at us about not having enough merch. So
yeah.
new merch on
new
the
merch
way.
New merch is on the way. Yeah. bit.ly/BSCC merch. It's 25% off right now. And so you,
yep.
but not for long. So you've got to go.
Not for long because we got to clear house. We got to find some room for some new merch.
Yeah. We got shirts. We got totes. We got pins. All of that stuff is 25% off. It's a bargain. Get it now while you still can.
Yes.
All that remains is for me to say that this week we did read a novel. That novel was, in fact, Jane Eyre. It fucking rules. If you haven't read it, you got to do it. It's fucking kicks ass.
Just read it. It's a fucking slog. It's long. But if you download the Audible book, it's Thandui Newton reading it. She's great.
It's sexy. It's torrid. It's like...
Everyone's ejaculating.
Everybody's
God, it's so good.
It fucking rules.
It turns out every time we read a book for this podcast where they're critically acclaimed and everyone loves it, it's like, oh yeah, this book is very good.
Yeah.
It happened with The Road. It happened with The Gunslinger.
We got to do Death March Through Middlemarch, man. I'm telling you.
Maybe we'll do that as an interstitial.
I think we should do. I honestly think I would happily do Death March through Middlemarch with you, because Middlemarch is, I don't have too much time to talk about it, and it, like, I have to say it because, like, I held back. Like, I wanted to do, like, I wanted to be like that guy in the English class for this episode, and I wasn't for the most part.
I know you said it, but while we're on break, you're like, yeah, I have so much I want to discuss, but it's a little bit too late cred.
The themes, man.
Yeah, a lot of themes.
But I'll say of Middlemarch, like, it's like long as hell, right, but it's so fucking good.
Yeah. Maybe there's a whole podcast concept in there where it's like Death March.
Yeah.
And it's all, it's like Infinite Jest and
just shit
Middle
that's
March,
like shit that's good, like, but long.
War and Peace. Yeah.
I was thinking we could do Ulysses, man. I would love nothing more than to, like, to drag you kicking and screaming through Ulysses.
I own Ulysses, and I own a study guide for Ulysses.
Hell yeah. There you
go.
Where
they explain everything, every dumb joke that James Joyce is making.
It's a good concept.
Yeah.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tarrant Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator, and demand your right to bear time. And do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaneys. Remember the trip, man. Take your dream horse through that maze. This is the way. Berries to blood. There is no God, and we are his prophets. I may be a shitty boyfriend, but I'm a damn good babysitter.
Go, ejaculated Miss Ingram. No. And the men went.
No. Reader, I married him. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
Is Samuel Richardson the guy who is in the memes where it's like looking at a book and he's like...
That Tanner's making a face now. What?
That's my meme of the week.
I don't know that meme.
Did I do an entire night school presentation about Samuel Richardson
you
once?
No, you didn't.
Who was that?
I don't know.
Guy looking at...
No, we can't talk about it because nobody knows what night school
is. It's my meme of the week. You have to.
This is all getting cut out.
You have to. It's my meme.
People don't know what night school is, so it's already cut.
Well, explain it while I'm looking this up, because it's my fucking meme of the week.
No.
And that's a segment, and you have to...
I won't. People don't know what night school is. I'm not going to explain it.
You have to. It's meme of the week.
This is dead air. I'm taking the... I'm looking at the minutes to add them back at the end. This is wasted time.
I have to figure out who this is.
This is cut.
I have to figure
out who this is. This is a cut segment. This is dead air. It's on the cutting room floor. Just know this. I already have the pickup.
Well, it's at least in the fucking outro, so.
No, I don't think so. This is nothing. This is a waste of time.
Okay, fine. Let's move on. Yes, that meme. That's the
Johnson.
One I'm talking about. Samuel Johnson. Yep.
Yep.
Welcome to the outro, everyone.